You're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, just here to let you know that this episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. While there are no registries or exact statistics on gun ownership in Vermont or anywhere in the United States, many polls and surveys suggest that more than half of Vermont households have firearms. And since the majority report that they use at least some of their firearms for hunting, and deer season is the biggest hunting event of the year, we're likely in the middle of a time when a lot of households might be having conversations about firearms and safety. And kids. So today we're going to talk about firearm safety and storage, and how families introduce their kids to guns, whether or not you have them in your household. What's the right age to start talking about guns, learning about guns? How do you decide when to let your kids actually handle a firearm? And for non-gun-owning households, do you talk about what your child should know if they ever encounter a gun somewhere else? We'd love to get some insight into how these conversations happen in your family. We're not going to talk about gun policy or politics today, but we are going to look at the conversations happening in homes all over our region. And we're hearing from many of you already who are sharing your perspective and your experiences. Tim says, I started teaching firearm safety too, and then shooting with my boys when they were 5 years old. They were taught the four basic firearms rules. Always treat every firearm as if it were loaded. Be sure of your target and what's behind it. Don't point a gun at something you're not willing to shoot, and keep your booger hook off the bang switch. They'll start hunter safety next fall when they're 10 years old. I also answer anytime they have questions about firearms or safety, and I let them handle their firearms at home, supervised, when they want to. It takes some of the novelty out of them, and I hope it'll keep them more focused when shooting. Tim says, in conclusion, teach him young and teach him often. And joining us are three people who often have these conversations with kids and adults. Bob Reskevitz is a chief hunter education instructor for Orange County. Bob, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Jane.
Allie Thomas is education manager at Vermont Fish and Wildlife in Montpelier. Allie, it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
And Colonel Jason Batchelder is the chief warden and director of enforcement for Vermont Warden Service. He oversees 34 field wardens who provide firearm education in schools. And these are wardens that work with schools and teachers to educate students about the work that wardens do. A big part of that is hunting and firearm safety. Colonel Batchelder, nice to have you on the program, too.
Hi, Jane.
So let's talk first about some best practices for firearm safety, both storage and when you're using a firearm. Because, you know, for some people, this is something that they think about all the time, something that they practice. And for others, this is not something that is familiar at all. So, Allie Thomas, could you just start with a couple of the basics? And Bob and Colonel Batchelder, we'll go to you as well. Let's start with firearm usage, and then we can talk more about storage in a minute. So right. What are the basics of what we should be thinking about? I mean, Tim gave some rules that he uses with his kids, and those seem like pretty good rules.
You know, Tim, everything we teach in the Fish and Wildlife Department Hunter Education Program is through the lens of hunting and hunting education. And in terms of firearm safety when being used, Tim wasn't far off. He was right on, actually. I've never said the word booger hook before.
But, nor me.
No, he was right on, though. It was the idea of absolute muzzle control. Know what when your action is open, your safety's on, and when that's not the case, you need to be prepared to
Can you explain action open, safety on?
Yeah, so one of the mechanical devices of a firearm is a safety switch, and they come in different forms, and that is a mechanical device that can and will fail, but it is supposed to stop the firearm from shooting. And then the action, there are different versions of action, bolt actions, lever actions, and pump actions, semi-automatics, that are a style of firearm. And if it's open, then you know that that is not loaded.
And that's actually a mantra, something that you teach people?
We do. In firearm safety, for the department and all of our 400-some volunteer instructors throughout the state, to move a firearm from one person to another, they have to say action open, safety on, and that other person has to say thank you. It seems a lot, and we say it a million times during a course, but I do it in my personal life hunting. I do it professionally. It's a very safe and appropriate, responsible way to handle a firearm.
Bob, other thoughts on safe handling of firearms?
In terms of the action open and safety on, the one thing that I would add to that is that the other person who's receiving the firearm has to actually physically look and be sure that the action is open, the safety is on, and the gun is unloaded. And so it's a passing a firearm from one person to another in a hunting situation or in a home situation is one that if you can bring it to its most basic level, and if everybody knows the drill and follows the drill every single time, period, it'll make the whole situation much better for everyone.
Even so far as saying what Ali's saying action, open, safety, on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that can be, like, say, in the home or up in a deer stand.
One of the other things, Tim mentioned it, but Bob, I'm sure you also teach it in hunter education, is, you know, never, ever, ever point your gun unless you're ready to shoot at something. So even if it's unloaded, even if it's loaded but the safety is on, you don't point the gun at something ever that you might not want to shoot. How do you practice that? When you're walking around in the woods, when you're crossing a stream, when you're, you know, moving from place to place, going under branches, how do you make sure you always practice that?
Well, one of the things that we do in our hunter education classes is to, at least in my class, we start off with swim noodles.
Like pool noodles?
So, yeah, like pool noodles. We start off with them, and then we progress to inert firearms to then using the real thing. And it's practice, 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 practice all the time, and practicing it right. Bad practice isn't good, but good practice will make people safer.
Colonel Batchelder, other tips that people should think about in terms of safe handling of firearms?
Sure. I'd just like to echo what Ali and Bob said. In treating every firearm as if it were loaded can't be overstated. Everything else would be or should be secondary when you're in the woods or handling a firearm at any time. If everybody lived by that, accidents would be reduced to almost zero.
We got a note from Wendy, who lives in Seattle, Washington, and tweeted, "I grew up in Alaska with guns around, and frankly, most were not kept safely. My husband shoots and has guns, and they're always in a safe and always loaded. He makes me go to the range occasionally so I don't forget how to use them." And I think she might have meant unloaded. Anyway, "has recently taken my daughter a few times. He is very safe and adamant about gun safety, but I'm not really a fan of guns. They're too loud for me to enjoy shooting. I know I could not get them in time to be of use regarding personal safety. I do appreciate knowing how to use them, but I think there needs to be a billion more hurdles to purchase and use at least as many as to drive and operate a vehicle. If a family asked about guns in our house, I'd tell them all of that. But I'm also glad my daughter knows what to do around a gun. Get away, tell an adult ASAP. We're probably the only family I know with guns." And let's go to Mark, who's calling in from Barrie. Hi, Mark. Go right ahead.
Hi there.
What's your perspective
Hello?
And experience?
You know, my experience with firearms was that when I was around 4, my dad bought me a BB gun. And I started learning from there. When I could safely handle that, a few years later, he bought me a .22, and then I worked my way up to a .30-30. I mean, I think one of the issues we're facing is that firearms are regarded with such fear and such a lack of understanding that we don't actually teach children from a very young age to handle them safely. As a kid, you know, my grandparents had gun cabinets that were not locked. They had glass doors on them. I would never have considered touching a firearm without permission. But I grew up with that, and it was drilled into me from a very young age. You shouldn't, you know, the idea that if you see a firearm, you just, you know, run away and tell an adult. A kid should know how to clear the weapon and make it safe, and then go and help the adult.
Mark, thanks for your perspective. I hear what you're saying, and I'm glad to hear your thoughts and your impressions. And I want to pick up on that idea of when you were growing up, there was a gun cabinet, and it was glass, and you could see the firearms, and it wasn't locked. And you had it drilled into you, don't ever touch them. But, you know, one of the ways that practices have changed in many families is that idea of safe storage and where your guns are when they're not being used. And Colonel Batchelder, is it different now, do you think, for the generation of adults who have firearms in the house today? I mean, there are no requirements that you have to keep them in a locked safe, but do you think that there are different practices?
I do. I think the practices have changed much for the better. I too grew up in a home where I knew where the guns were and I didn't go near them. Neither did any of my brothers and sisters. And I now live in a home where all the guns are locked, and I'm practicing that out of heightened awareness for situations that I come in contact with it in my day to day. But I also feel like it's a practice that everyone should at least explore. you know, and using firearms as any tool that can be that can be dangerous, and but as a very useful tool, especially in the rural landscape like we have in Vermont.
But Colonel Batchelder, you grew up in a place where you had firearms that were visible and potentially accessible, but you never touched them. So why is that not a practice that you continue in your house today? Why do you advocate for a different kind of approach for families with guns?
Oh, it's a great question, and I think that I've shifted as an individual, and I've maybe evolved a little as a person, and seeing the potential that I necessarily was I probably was shielded or sheltered from as a kid, the potential for accidents and for kids to be kids will never go away, and I guess I can't accurately answer that, Jane, what the difference is between my childhood and the child that I'm bringing my kids up in. But it's a personal choice that I've made and one that I certainly preach.
Jason's calling in from Heartland. Hi, Jason. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. Also, just elaborating on locking the firearm safely at home. I just want to share a quick story where I was young enough and I purchased a handgun, and my brother who lived with me would beg me for the gun safe code because he wanted to see it or handle it or whatever, and I absolutely refused to give him the code unless I was, you know, he didn't know what it was, and I was always with him when he handled it. But later on, he actually committed suicide, not by a handgun, but another way. And all I can say is thank God I did not give him the code to my safe, because Lord knows if he would have used my gun to kill himself. So that's just my point. You know, it'd be very careful about, you know, guns in the home, lock them up and use your discretion with who has access to them.
Yeah, Jason, thank you for sharing that perspective, and I'm very sorry to hear about your family member. And, you know, Jason bringing up the point that even if you have responsibility for your firearms and perhaps other people in your household, you don't always control who's coming into and out of your house, which I think is something that people think about more perhaps now. And parents are perhaps having more conversations when their kids are going over to somebody else's house for a play date. Do you have firearms? How do you store them? And those are conversations that perhaps even non-firearm-owning families have. We got a note from Kathleen who says, when my young son visited homes where firearms existed, we enrolled in a hunter safety course. It was a wonderful experience. Vermont has a very responsible group of folks who own firearms, and while not growing up with them myself, we both benefited from learning about how to safely be around them. I highly recommend enrolling and listening to the people who teach these classes. It was so enlightening. And Matt echoes that idea, tweeting, "Don't overlook the importance of a hunter safety course, even if the child isn't interested in hunting. The firearm safety component of the course can be impactful, and it's being relayed to them by somebody other than their parents." And let's go to Annie, calling in from Brattleboro. Annie, hi. What's your thought and perspective?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a three-year-old, and he likes to play with, like, toy guns and stuff. He's really into, like, action movies and all of that. And my question is like, what are the resources in community? And I'm not a gun owner, by the way. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't have them in my home. And I want to know if there's any, like, resources in the community, like classes for young kids to, like, familiarize them with guns and safety about guns, because I don't know anything about it.
Well, Annie, thanks for your call. So Annie's child is three. Bob, that's younger than the typical age at a hunter safety course. But young kids sometimes take hunter education, which you're required to do to be able to get a license, a hunting license every year. You only have to take it once, though. But so what about, I mean, maybe not quite yet, but what are the resources available, including hunter education, hunter safety, for families with kids, whether they are going to own guns or not?
We do have in some of our hunter education classes families who will bring children to audit the course, if you will. So they're not in the course in order to pass it. They're not in the course to take the exam. But they're there to familiarize their child with the course and with the concepts we talk about and we practice. Practice is a big part of the course. And those children get that opportunity without the pressure of, am I going to pass or am I not going to pass? And very often the decision is made beforehand. Okay, we're not taking the exam. We're not doing those things. But maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road, we will. So that's certainly an opportunity. We also have the camps that I think Allie could talk about.
Yeah. So the Green Mountain Conservation Camp Program is administered by the Fish and Wildlife Department, and there are two different locations in the state. And it kids who are 12 years old to 14 can go for the first year to these camp programs, where among many things related to outdoor education, we do provide hunter education, the combination firearm and bow course. And we see it fit at age 12 for those kids to, you know, and we have very little issues. Most kids pass. They do a great job. There's a lot other things that happen during the course of that week also. But age 12 seems to be a really responsible age. They can physically, mentally, emotionally, socially kind of navigate some of the concepts that we try to teach in hunter education as they relate to wildlife management and just safe, ethical behavior. The course, the actual written test related to the course is at a sixth grade level, which is about a 12-year-old. And so when people ask me, although there's not an age limit, what do you suggest? I just refer to the fact that the test is written for 12-year-olds, about give or take.
Bob, not just kids, but sometimes adults, we heard from Kathleen, she took it with her son, sometimes adults take hunter education courses because it is one of the few places that I know of in Vermont where you can have an opportunity to handle firearms. Firearms, whether they're just different from what you might own in your own household or whether you're never going to own a firearm, it's a safe place to learn about firearm handling. And you do wind up shooting things that perhaps, I mean, you know, handling a gun that you would never otherwise use in your life. Do you find people find that a helpful experience?
Absolutely. In our classes, we often have, you know, fairly young children on up to older adults who are retired and looking for a new opportunity, something new and different. Perhaps they are starting to really enjoy the local vore food movement. And hunting is really sort of the ultimate in that. And so we also have people who going to other states who might be grandfathered in Vermont, but when they go to another state, they have to have their orange card. They have to have passed hunter ed. And so in that class, you might have people with lots of experience who are older, or perhaps people with little experience who are older. Mothers with children, fathers with children, grandfathers or mothers or uncles or aunts with relatives. And it's really nice. And if those people are going to come with their child, well, let's enroll in the course and let's all take it together.
Do you have people, though, who say, this is the only time I ever want to handle a firearm, but I just want to know what that experience is like? I'm not planning to hunt, but...
Yes, we certainly do. And we have some people who come in with a lot of fear. Not uncommon for, you know, I'm marrying someone whose family is really into hunting, and so I need to know how to do this. Not at all uncommon, and quite welcome, actually.
Neil writes in to say, both of my kids learned gun safety relatively young with BB guns. My daughter knows how to safely handle firearms and will shoot targets once in a while. She decided she didn't want to hunt, so her experience with firearms is not nearly as extensive as my son. He took the hunter safety course as a 10-year-old. He's 13 now, has his own rifle, and is hunting in his fourth deer season. We got a note from Johnny who says, like all responsibilities, they need to be taught right and preferably by family. Do the right thing, be safe, keep your finger off the trigger, don't point the gun at anything you don't want to kill, and don't let ignorant people try to rationalize the destruction of this freedom. Jeremy says, demystify guns, introduce responsible gun handling at an early age. If firearms are this forbidden entity that is surrounded by unknowns, children will be drawn to them without the requisite knowledge. And let's go to Nick, who's calling in from Cambridge. Hi, Nick. How do you think about this?
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I got three young children, and I have expose them at a young age to firearms. We are a family that avidly shoots. And I really found that after, you know, multiple sessions of going with my children to the range, they really take in the nostalgia of firearms, and it's just something that they don't see as anything of a curiosity. It's just another tool. And I think that's really important that a lot of folks really have to do that with their children. It really starts with the parents, that, you know, to show them that this is a tool and to respect it and to use caution with it, just like, you know, no different than a nail gun or any other, like a saw for construction purposes.
Yeah,
that's been my experience so far.
Yeah, so you do teach them more about guns and firearms as tools and as potentially dangerous tools, but try to, as one of our other listeners said, demystify it, Nick.
Yes, exactly. And the really, you know, the importance of all the hunter safety protocols, you know, treat everything as it's loaded, and to really focus on that side of things. I have one, my oldest, he started hunting this year with me, and we just noticed that, you know, there's no curiosity with them because they've been brought up around the firearms.
Well, Nick, thanks for sharing your perspective. I appreciate that. Let's hear another one from Josh, who's calling in from Rutland. Hi, Josh. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So my family is a gun-free household. I've never enjoyed guns, but my brother is a sharpshooter for the Coast Guard. So obviously we've had many conversations about this. And one of and in that conversation, I've had to figure out why am I afraid of guns. And I realize that it's not the guns that I'm afraid of. What it is I have to trust that everyone that has a gun has gone through the necessary precautions to be able to keep their gun safe, like your guest today and like a lot of these responsible gun owners that are calling in. And that trust in people is different than the trust in the tool, as the caller just said. So I just wanted to say that it's not the guns that a gun-fearing person like myself has. It's the people that I have to trust.
Yeah, Josh, I appreciate that perspective. Thanks for sharing that as well. One more here from Christopher, who's calling in from Essex. Christopher, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Listen, my comment is picking right up on what Josh just said, and that is that I think the fact that we don't know if someone's had training or not, and we fear the potential damage that a gun can have. It seems to me like because of the prevalence of guns, the handguns and rifles in homes, particularly in Vermont for hunting weapons, but still, just generally speaking, it would seem that and the national movement from guns as a crime to guns as a health hazard, it just seems to me we should be teaching gun safety in high school as a matter of course. Whether you decide to have a gun or not, whether you use a gun or not, the mere fact that you, the odds of you encountering having a friend or some other family that has a gun are pretty high. It would just seem to me that knowledge would be power. And so if it were part of the health curriculum to go through either the gun safety program or just the program in the school itself that involves the handling of and knowledge about firearms would go a long way to demystifying it and having the knowledge so that if you encounter a gun, it's not some mystery thing that the first thing you want to do is put your hand on the trigger and look down the barrel.
Yeah, Christopher, thanks for that. I appreciate that perspective. And Colonel Batchelder, what about that? I mean, you do go into schools, and one of the things that you and other wardens talk about is firearm safety. But, you know, Christopher is saying, why aren't all people taught about this, whether or not they ever plan to use a firearm, given the prevalence? There are more guns than people in the United States. So is this something that should be part of our curriculum?
Sure, I'm going to leave that question to Allie, but I will say on the question about wardens being in schools, we do that as a subordinating role to hunter education, and I would encourage anyone to reach out to their district warden to have a warden come to their school. Wardens are eager and instructed to be at every school within their district, which ranges from 6 to 15 towns. But they are there for you. They're there to talk about gun safety. They're there to talk about being safe in the woods and what to do if you come across a gun. But I'd like to turn that other part of that question over to Allie.
Allie?
Yeah, that's a great idea and a great comment. I think training is only as good as the curriculum that supports it. And so it's fine to teach kids how to use guns, but like hunter education and a lot of scout programs and 4-H programs, it's really important to focus also on these ethical and, you know, other implications associated with this tool. And so, yeah, they can teach them how to use it, but we also have to think developmentally appropriate practices and what other social, emotional, developmental activities are going to be associated with that training.
So, oh, we could do that, right? I mean, theoretically, that's what we do with sex education these days. That's what we do in a lot of health classes.
I'm not saying no to that. I'm just saying, you know, Hunter Ed does a really good job making safe hunters because we focus so much on social development as well. Kids aren't, you know, participants in that program aren't just focusing on how to go hunting. It's, are they responsible? Are they safe? Are they being ethical on a lot of different levels? And that's as important as knowing how to use a gun. And so, yes, my answer is yes, but it's got to be a good curriculum.
Yeah. Other people chiming in here. Dee Dee says, in terms of the question, when and how do you introduce young people to firearms, writes, right away. We always talked to our children about guns. They are not toys. They're not to be played with. You never point a gun at anything, even if you think it isn't loaded. Plus, they are locked up in a gun safe. Steve says, my kids know how to handle guns very well and both have their own. Pose a threat to their lives and they'll shoot you if I'm not there to do it myself. Brian posted a photo of his son shooting a rifle at a shooting range and says, my kids started handling firearms around 6 or 7 years old and my 10-year-old has a decent grouping at 100 yards with the AR. And Mike says, when should you talk to your child about guns? As soon as they can understand spoken language. They should grow up hearing your hunting stories and learning about our local history. They should learn safe gun handling rules the same time they learn to look both ways when crossing the street. Joseph in Burlington says, I haven't been a hunter for 2 or 3 decades now, but I understand the importance of guns, especially in a rural state like Vermont. One of the things that was conflicting for me was having a child and trying to teach him safe attitudes about guns while at the same time providing guns for play purposes. There wasn't really consistent logic when he had a toy gun waving around and pointing at people. I would say never, ever point a gun, even a toy gun, at something you don't intend to shoot. Bob, we haven't talked much about this, and I know your focus is also on hunter education. But a significant minority of Vermont firearms owners are owning them for personal safety purposes. And we talked earlier about safe storage and the best practices of having your guns locked in a safe, unloaded, having your ammunition locked somewhere else. That's not necessarily going to be the way a family member who has a gun for personal protection is keeping that gun. That gun may not be stored away. That may be a small handgun. How do we talk about that kind of stuff, especially with young people in a household? You know, whether or not you're a family that has a gun for personal protection in that way, kids might encounter them. Other people may encounter those firearms. How do we talk and think about that?
I think certainly that people need to seriously consider how they are still going to store that firearm. If they feel they need a firearm that is readily available to them, how are they going to store that so it's also not readily available to others in their family or others who are not in their family as well?
And do you have thoughts on that?
There are lots of divergent opinions, and I'm not sure that any one of them is right or wrong. But what I like to think about all the time is the safety aspects of that firearm. And where is the firearm stored? How is the firearm stored? How is the ammunition stored? And is that going to be safe for your children, their children, and other people that come into your home?
I'm interested in all of the different ways that people are thinking about this and talking about this in our communities. Let's go to Steve, who's calling in from Shrewsbury. Hey, Steve, go right ahead.
I can just say that I had three sons. He's taking 3 sons. They started becoming curious about firearms at age 5 and 6. And I can tell you that if you start training children in high school, you have missed the boat. As soon as they see a firearm, boys, I don't know about girls, I've only had 3 sons, they are instinctively curious. They want to pick it up. They want to point it. They want to play with it. If you teach them from the get-go at that age, by the time they're a few years old, they have a complete understanding of what a firearm is. And the idea that children are too stupid to realize what the difference between a toy gun and a real gun is bad thought thinking. Children inherently understand these things.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for those thoughts. Appreciate that. Cindy's on the line with us from Calais. Cindy, what do you think?
We had the rule when we were raising our kids that they could never point even a toy gun or a stick at people or pets. Their grandmother was a good hunter, and they had that for a role model, but We thought guns weren't toys, and we would send toy guns back to the manufacturer and complain about them. So when I enrolled them in Hunter Safety, they were pretty surprised about that. But we live in a gun culture, and I wanted them to know how to handle guns safely, whether they ever ended up shooting or not. So that's my perspective.
Yeah, never thanks point for that. Thanks for that, Cindy. And we got it. Never point even a stick. Never pretend to point a firearm at somebody is how you've taught your children. Alec Thomas, when we think about this and we think about conversations and when and how and what's appropriate for young people, it's going to be different for every family and totally different philosophies, totally different practices, depending on who you are and where you live and what you use or don't use firearms for. But how do you think about that maturity level? You brought it up that, you know, that idea of it's not just can you physically handle a firearm? Do you know the rules? But your cognition and your brain. Mm-hmm. And so how do you think about that with young people?
Well, you know, not to repeat myself, but everything we always do is through the idea of not only holding a firearm, but also being out hunting. And that's a huge, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And so what we've found and, you know, what a lot of research shows is kids are ready for a rite of passage right around 11, 12, 13 years old. They're ready to, you know, physically, emotionally, socially challenge themselves with responsible mentors. And so that's what we've provided in our camp program, because I think the kids are ready for that. That's why the tests are written to that age. It doesn't mean over half of our participants in Hunter Ed are still adults, but it means that that's where we feel people are about ready to emotionally, cognitively digest that information and be possibly certified or maybe not. Maybe another try.
Well, it's interesting to think about, and I appreciate the three of you being here to talk through some of these issues with us. Certainly more we could discuss and more that families are discussing. Allison Thomas is Education Manager at Vermont Fish and Wildlife. Colonel Jason Batchelder is the Chief Warden and Director of Enforcement for Vermont Warden Service. And Bob Raskevitz is Chief Hunter Education Instructor for Orange County. Thanks very much to all three of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.